Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Joe Benigno and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe, on WFAN Sports Radio. If you want to be in the New York, no, gotta go to Joe and
All right, 10:03 on the Fan, and a very good Thursday morning to you. The midday show, Joe Benigno, Evan Roberts, 877-337-6666 is the phone number. Here till 1 o'clock, CMB will come your way. Dove Kramer, Ernie Acosta on the other side of the glass. And, of course, we are live and in living color from the Black Bear studio here. Delicious Black Bear deli meats and cheeses only at ShopRite. Thank you, G. And without any further ado, joining us right now, the Super Bowl MVP in Super Bowl 21, former great quarterback with the Giants. And, of course, now you see him on CBS. He's an analyst for the NFL on CBS. You can catch him Sundays throughout the season on the NFL Today, number 11, the great Phil Simms. Phil, Joe, and Evan, how are you?
Hey, listen, you don't have to read all this stuff. Say, everybody, here's Phil. Let's roll.
No. I'm not reading anything.
Come on, quit the
Phil,
let's talk about
come on,
some
Phil.
Good stuff.
Don't get me started. I'm a big fan of Phil Simms and an underrated guy.
Hey, Phil, just think about this.
Don't get me going. I know you don't like to talk about your career, but
we
still.
We wouldn't open the show with an interview unless it was Phil Simms.
That's it.
All right?
Well,
we're not doing it.
That's nice of you to say, but I know you guys got a lot of things you want to rant about. You're still probably griping and not crying, but I listened to quite a bit, and I know the Yankees and all that. And Joe,
you know, I'm a Met fan, Phil. Phil, hold on.
Go ahead.
I'm a Met fan, Phil.
I know you are.
All right. So am I going to complain? I'm complaining about the Yankees?
Yeah, I know. Well, okay, you're not complaining, but you know, Evan went out to the wild card game, so
yeah, he's a Met fan too.
I am. You know, Phil, I was the. I was the.
Okay. So you quietly got some joy out of the Yankees.
And let me say this too. Here's what I'll complain about. If my football team, the Jets, as you know, do not beat the lousy, beat-up Indianapolis Colts on Sunday, I will be ranting like a maniac, Phil.
Oh, God.
All right?
Hey, listen, your job wouldn't be fun if you couldn't complain, because complaining is so much more fun than going, oh, he's really good.
No, Phil.
After we can second-guess
Phil,
when they lose.
Phil, after 50 years, can I, it's been 50 years, Phil. 50. 50.
Hey, Joe,
you weren't even born yet.
Listen, you started the show off with, here we are, live and living color or whatever. Is it really good to be in living color? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, it's a good TV show. I'll tell you that right now.
At a certain age, we keep the camera as far away from me as you can. You know? But whatever. What are we going to do today? What do you want to talk about?
Well, let's talk about your former team, who has a game they have to win tonight against the Eagles at MetLife. Well, what's your thoughts about where the Giants are right now?
Well, you know, first, got to say the Odell Beckham Jr. thing. You've talked it to death. I know and everything. But, my opinion was it was good. We got all this out. It's finally clear. The air is clear. Will that help the team? I think it will. You know, there's always friction in the locker room and something. And sometimes when it just gets out and then you finally just get it over with, you get rid of the problem. And we'll see. Odell Beckham Jr., I would say this. I look at the game tonight just quickly. Man, I'm really disappointed. They say it's going to be raining like the whole game, I just heard. I'm like, dang, I like to see teams play in a situation where we can see really who the best team is. But the Giants, they have a lot going for them against this Eagle team, which is really struggling. Their offensive line's not playing well. Their defensive line is not what it was last year. Their secondary is just getting destroyed. They have no running backs. Carson Wentz is getting hit at a ferocious rate, taking big hits. Guy coming off of a knee injury. He's standing there running around and taking more hits than probably any quarterback in football. So I'm anxious to see the game and see how it works out.
They have got to find a way to build off last week. And I ask you that. Do you think that even though it was as brutal of a loss as you can have, losing on a 63-yard field goal on the second time in basically a year, they've lost on a historic field goal. But
right.
Because offensively they actually broke 30 and they started to move the football more effectively and Eli took some shots down the field, do you think that despite the loss, they can build off of the overall performance we saw a week ago or a few days ago now against Carolina?
Yeah, I do. I do. There was a couple things. You know, one, Carolina played the game. You know, I watched their games and I think, okay, this is going to be this type of game or whatever for the Giants, and it was a little different. Carolina basically came in there and just said, we're gonna attack Saquon Barkley, and we're going to make Eli throw the ball. And they did throw it down the field, had some big plays, and it gave them a chance to win. I mean, there you are late in the game, and you need a touchdown, and they give up a deep pass. I forgot who called it now, Sterling Shepard, whoever, the deep one, to put them in position to throw it to Saquon Barkley. But they blitzed a lot, and the Giants made them pay, but not enough. I mean, there was a few times if Odell's a step away from taking one about 80 or 90 yards for a touchdown. I can't imagine tonight that the Eagles will play that way. The Giants have matchups, Barkley in passing game, both receivers. There, Jalen Mills is having one of the worst years for a corner in the NFL. They're not really going to match up. So the Eagles got to count on their front winning the game for them because they cannot take chances on the defensive side.
Mm.
So that's just a little thing. You know, it's the one matchup, Brandon Graham, the left defensive end for the Eagles, against Chad Wheeler, the right tackle for the Giants. You know, that's a matchup I just went, wow, I'm going to watch that during the game because that could be big. That's probably the best matchup the Eagles have up front.
Mm. Phil, what about where – nobody knows about being a Giant quarterback better than you do, but what about where Eli is right now?
Well, I think last week's got to be a big lift for him. He did throw one really bad interception. It's the one down the left sideline. I don't know what they were trying to do there.
Mm-hmm.
The other interception when they were going in to score, the linebacker, I just – you know, every once in a while, you got to say the defense wins. And – it looked like it was going to be an all-out blitz. He caught the ball and knew he had to get rid of it. And as he's getting rid of it, they all stopped and turned and ran back, and that's why the interception happened. But I think he's got to feel better about the offense. They moved him around a little bit. I'd like to see more. You know, in this league, we're watching every quarterback move. And I keep saying this all the time about Eli. At least – Pat Shurmur's got some boots where he's getting outside, some play actions where he sits up behind the tackles instead of straight back. That's a help to their offensive line. But the bigger thing, it's a help to Eli, and it gives the receivers more time to go down the field and try to get open. So, again, Eli, last year, I haven't looked at the numbers, but I think he had two very good throwing games against the Eagles. And I think he's going to have a chance tonight to have a big game throwing the football.
Yeah, their better offensive performances last year were against Philadelphia. They didn't break the 30-point number, as we know, but they were relatively close. I tell you one guy who I think has been underrated in a way, and that's Saquon Barkley. Because Phil, every time they hand him the ball, he's getting hit in the backfield. It seems like it's happening constantly. And he has had a plenty of plays in which he's lost a yard, lost 2 yards. But he has also broken off the big play. And it's not like they're blocking well for him. So in a lot of ways, Saquon has been probably as impressive as we could have imagined coming into this season.
I would agree. I think about it and say it all the time to everybody. He's going to have two games this year where he's going to go for about 175 or 200 yards. When just like last week, you know, Carolina was so worried about him that they were extremely aggressive in their blitz just for that reason. And a couple times he breaks so many tackles, but a couple times he almost got out of there for one of those long, really, like, you know, 60 yarders or whatever. He did have a couple big runs, but tonight, that won't happen, So even though the Eagles have a good defensive front, it's not playing like that. I heard Haloti Ngata is going to be out. He's a big run stopper there for him. And it wouldn't surprise me to see him have a big night running because, you know, again, their secondary can't take chances. So what's that mean? More people are back and not near the line of scrimmage. And that'll really help Saquon.
I'll tell you one thing. He's a great receiver, Phil. I mean, we saw him last week, caught two touchdown passes last week, one of them from Beckham. He hasn't been, he's been slowed down running the ball from scrimmage, no doubt, except for that big run he had the opening week against the Jaguars. He's a tremendous pass receiver.
Well, listen, when they played the Houston Texans, the Texans were trying everything, and they were just really attacking the line of scrimmage hard, and they did a pretty good job of whatever. But Eli had a great throwing day against them because of that. And, when you play this Giants team now, and the offensive line, listen, it was good. They played a good, solid game last week, and Eli had time to throw. He had space, and they threw it down the field and all that. It's kind of starting to come together a little bit, and that's their problems. You look at Odell. Sterling Shepard is as good a number two receiver as there is in the NFL. He's right up there in the top five when you look at – we know Odell's one, Sterling's number two. But then when you got a running back like Saquon Barkley, you really have to be careful and game plan to make sure he doesn't go out there and beat you just by his runs.
We're talking to the great Phil Simms. How about the Eagles right now? Because I think the knee-jerk reaction is they're the defending Super Bowl champions. They'll be the team in this division to figure things out. But they've got the quarterback coming off the big injury. They have tons of injuries. Jay Ajayi's done for the season. The secondary has been awful so far. Darby and Mills have had bad years. Give me your opinion on the state of this Eagle team right now.
Well, you hit it. I mean, the defensive line's not been dominant like they hoped it would be. The offensive line, man, I mean, it's a good-looking offensive line when you just look at it on paper. You know, you got Jason Peters and Jason Kelsey at center, Lane Johnson at right tackle. You go, wow, it doesn't get much better than that, but it's not played that way. So they can't run the ball. So the Giants, they have not defended a run like you think they would have this year with their up front, but they don't have to worry tonight. The Eagles, running backs are all beat up. I mean, who are they going to run the football with tonight? And the secondary, you said it. So they got a lot of problems, and, they're not even trying to run the ball either, and they're putting it all on Carson Wentz. And I don't know if I said, but, boy, is he taking a lot of hits. And he holds the ball because he can move around, and that's great. But still, the hits, the pass protection, you can't name me anything on their team that's really doing well. And, you don't fix all these things in 1 week. They're not on the upswing, that's for sure. I look at the Giants and go, I see a little upswing, but I don't see that when I look at the Philadelphia Eagles. And, hey, it's a slow process to get back to where you were. You know, I said to somebody earlier, the Eagles, do they have Super Bowl hangover? There is such a thing. There's no question. And Bill Parcells, the year after we won it, he was the meanest, orneriest person in the world, which is hard to believe, I know, in training camp because he knew there's complacency that comes with winning. And I think he said once, he says, Simms, when you got $10 million in the bank, I don't care how good of an actor you are, you just can't really sell that you're poor. And I went, okay, I think I understand what you're trying to say here, Coach. But it is true. They won. It does take a little edge off of you. And I really believe it's up to the coach to create an atmosphere that gives you that edge. And that's not happening so far down in Philadelphia.
Yeah, you also, after your Super Bowl, you also had the
well, we had strike.
The strike was huge,
but that
Phil.
Training camp, he was, hey, Simms, your buddy over there, I'm telling you, he's not doing very well. You better talk to him and get him going because his job is not secure. And I'm going, oh, what are you kidding, man? He was great last year. He's our man. And then I start watching the guy on tape as we're watching practice go, oh, my God, Coach is right. He's really fallen off the – he really fell off from the year before, some of my offensive linemen. But we'll see how it works out. That's why I'm so excited to see the game tonight.
All right, Phil, I got to ask you about Sam Darnold. I mean, to me, he's ahead of schedule of what I thought he'd be through the first five games. What's your thoughts so far on him?
Well, last week was something they needed, he needed, everybody needed a lot. And it was great for him to get the football down the field, to open it up. I thought his two games before that, he really digressed, and he was kind of playing like the quarterback that I saw at USC, a little scattered, breaking the pocket too quick, just, getting his feet parallel to the line of scrimmage is like the worst position you can be in to throw the football when you're standing in the pocket. But last week, his feet, everything about him, his throwing down the field, It's the best throwing I've seen him, the best game I've seen him throw the football besides Miami this year. So that was really big. And now they got to have confidence that they can open up their offense even more. And it was a great – the Jets, that was a resounding victory. And, man, they stomped the Broncos, ran the football. They showed some toughness. They have a solid offensive line that people don't pay attention to. But that was big for Sam Darnold. That has to give everybody a lot of confidence.
What are your thoughts on Baker Mayfield? Because I think there was a knee-jerk reaction to believe, well, they're the Browns, so they must have screwed it up. What have you seen and liked so far from Baker Mayfield?
Well, yeah, you know, you can just put me on a list of idiots. And you know, because I thought, man, you know, I like Baker Mayfield a lot, but I don't know if I can take him with the first pick. And then they took Denzel Ward from Ohio State in the fourth. I said, oh, wow, you know, man, there's so many things, and you're taking a little corner. And they both have been awesome.
Yep.
Denzel Ward is, you can almost say he's a shutdown corner. He's playing that well. Against the Baltimore Ravens last week, he was, every week I watch him, he's making plays, he's all over receivers, and he can truly probably be one of those guys that matches up to help your football team. But Baker Mayfield's, his feet, man, he can pop in and out of the pocket, he can move, and he is a fearless thrower of the football. If he sees it, if he thinks there's a window, he rips it. And he's naturally, I think, a very gifted passer. And what I mean by that is he just has great feel. You know, he just has it. And he can drop the ball in there. He can throw it with speed, accuracy. And he's not one of these quarterbacks that goes back and he's going to let it go. He's not worried about where it's going to go. He knows it's going to go where he wants it to be. Now the question is the decision right or wrong? And so far, it's been right. Did you watch his game last week?
A little bit.
Well, overtime. They're backed up. And I think it was a third down play. He's in the pocket. He kind of steps up in the pocket, but he realizes it's no good. Then he backs out of the pocket, keeps it, and then moves to the right just a step or two, and then rips one across the middle for a big gain that took him on down to help him win the game in overtime. And it was, I just went, wow, that was one of the better plays I saw the whole day in any game. Mm. And it says a lot about him. He is cocky, confident, and it shows. I love the way he plays, and it's rubbing off on the football team without a question.
It's kind of what they needed up there. You know, they kind of needed that cockiness, that brashness, and it seems like it fits what they are right now.
Yeah,
what they,
you know, listen, it does, and they all have such great confidence in him and everything, and you know, Todd Haley can draw up anything because Baker makes all the plays. And, you know, somebody said to me, well, they're running a different offense than they did with Tyrod Taylor. I said, no, they're not. It just looks different because he's back there, you know, throwing the ball down the field and not worried about throwing an interception. You know, that's the other thing. He is not afraid of losing or making the bad play. He sees it. You know, he's not playing safe and careful. He's playing to win. He's not worried about losing. And there's a lot of quarterbacks, not a lot, but there's a few quarterbacks in the league. They play not to lose instead of trying to win. Mm. And I love it. I just love watching him play. I got to admit, I did not think he would be this good in the NFL, of course. I don't know if many people thought it was going to be this good, but I don't think it's an accident. I think he's going to continue to play like this the whole year.
All right, big game this week on Sunday night in Foxborough with the Chiefs and the Patriots. What's your thoughts on that game, Phil?
Well, I love it when people say, well, the Patriots will try to control the ball to keep Kansas City's offense off the field. I don't think that'll be the case. This is every time we see a big game, whatever it is, with the Patriots, they got something that's going to try to catch you off guard. So I kind of think of it as one of these games where Tom Brady is going to come out and probably throw it 27 times out of the first 30 plays. And they're going to spread it out. And Kansas City's defense, it played better last week, but Dee Ford is their pass rusher who's finally healthy and really playing like a number one draft pick. But it's not that good. That's what I'm trying to say. And they all have an answer to make sure they block Dee Ford, their best pass rusher. And Tom Brady's going to sit there and you go, oh, Patrick Mahomes, they want a shootout? I think the Patriots, will be ready for a shootout. They can play that game. And, you know, I think the Patriots will beat the Kansas City Chiefs.
Now, when I listen to your buddy Boomer right before us, and he talks about Patrick Mahomes, I'm thinking he's already in Canton. I'm thinking he's already there. They're already building the statue for him. Now, I got to admit, the guy's been awesome the first 5 weeks this year. how good can this guy be? Is this guy going to be the best quarterback in the league once Brady and Rodgers are gone? Is he that good in your mind?
Yeah, he's really good. Let's don't put him in Canton. You know, it's a we do it all too much, and I understand where Boomer's coming from. But it's every game, even the game against Jacksonville. He threw two interceptions, no touchdowns. It still was a good game played by him. He just makes so many plays that are not there. And when they play teams where the talent is equal or whatever, just a good defense instead of something like Jacksonville, he's going to put up big numbers. And it's not an accident. This will continue. He is a tremendous thrower of the football. He plays like his heart beats like 50 the way he plays. He just kind of moves around. You never see him frantic, and plays with a great calmness. But his ability to move, and, of course, really one of the best arms I've seen come in the league in a long time. Mm. And, guys, the throws on the run, I haven't seen these in the NFL since maybe Aaron Rodgers, maybe Brett Favre early in his career. But these throws on the run that he makes, they truly are extraordinary. So, and Andy Reid, have you watched Andy Reid, like, during the series when they play, when he comes and sits on the bench next to Patrick Mahomes? Just watch it when you watch one of their games, or this weekend. He sits beside him, and he turns and looks at him. He's like going, oh, God, I love you. You're so good. But Andy Reid is now can do his stuff and then do other, all the whatever you want to say, cue plays. But now everything is open down the field, too, for him. And it's again, these young quarterbacks, I think I'm not going to talk about Lamar, but the other four, I think they're all going to work out. And I'm just a big believer. I kind of follow college football, but I said to Boomer and everybody on the NFL today, hey, there's going to be a group of quarterbacks every year come into this league that got talent to be starters. And they're going to come again this year. So the league is in great shape when we talk about quarterbacks. And it's going to be hard to say who's the best and whatever, because the most important guy to the quarterback is who? The offensive coordinator. And the coordinators are doing a great job of being creative and just giving the quarterbacks a lot of plays where they can make them without even having to think.
Phil, how good are the Rams?
Their offense is outstanding. There you go. Did Jared Goff just do something special the offseason after his rookie year where he just turned into this different guy? And so he got some talent, some offensive linemen, some wide receivers. Oh, and then he got Sean McVay.
Right. There you go. Okay. That's the big one right there. That's you hit the big
well,
one.
Well, it helps when you got maybe the best running back in the NFL and Todd Gurley. And then the fact that he went out and got Brandon Cooks, that was a big deal because he fits the offense perfectly. He's a better fit than Sammy Watkins. That's why they let Sammy Watkins go to Kansas City. And, you know, their offense is awesome. Their defense is struggling. It's giving up points, and they're having a tough time. And they need Aqib Talib to come back, and they need Marcus Peters, the two corners that they went out and got. And they gave up Alex Ogletree, who's here with the Giants, and they gave up Robert Quinn down in Miami to go get these two corners. They had to make switches. So, you know, Wade Phillips says, I want the two corners so he can play his defense. But they really haven't been able to do that yet because their secondary has just given up too many plays.
Hmm. And, you know, it's amazing. We talk about the impact that this coach McVay had on Jared Goff, but how about the impact on Todd Gurley? Todd Gurley was in this league for 2 years, and he was all right.
Yeah.
It was nothing special. Last year, he became, as you described it correctly, the best running back in the NFL.
He looks like a different – I mean, he reminds me of Eric Dickerson, the way he runs. He kind of stays up, and, you know, he just covers ground. So, you know, there's the run. He goes, oh, my God, he got 8 yards? Right. He looked like he was stopped, you know, but they just – but Andrew Whitworth, they fixed their line. And what happens is this. It's just the drawing of the plays is better. They're running a lot of zone – you know, I don't want to get to zone plays, but that gives Todd Gurley lots of options. But then they do everything off of it. Now, they run screens to Todd Gurley at least 3 or 4 times every game.
Yep.
And they all don't work great, but I'll tell you, most of them do. And it is amazing how they do it. And All those little jet sweeps and all that, I don't know why, but they always call it against the perfect defense. So I don't know if Jared Goff is that quick and smart, because I look for the hand signals or whatever, but they got the magic touch when it comes to the offensive side, no question right now.
Phil, it is always a pleasure, man. It really is.
Well, thank you, guys, and I'm going to work today, but I really, this Thursday Night Football, people can say what they want. I did it for a while, for years. It was hard, but I love watching it. And, Monday Night Football's over. Okay, let's do a few things, and here comes Thursday night. It's great, so I'm looking forward to tonight's game.
Should be fun. Big game. It's basically a playoff game right now, that's for sure.
Both teams need it.
Yep.
All right.
Thank
you,
Phil.
Thanks for having me on. Y'all have a great day.
You got it.
All right, Phil.
Okay.
The great Phil Simms. And think about this with Todd Gurley. Look at the first 2 years of his career, pedestrian running back. 2 years now with Coach McVay, he's the best running back in the NFL.
You don't have to sell me on McVay, man. He's right up there with the top coaches in the NFL right now.
Really has done a hell of a job.
Yep.
We got a very busy show today. Ricky Ricardo is going to join us. We'll do Eagles with Ricky.
Wow.
We'll do Yankees with Ricky.
How about that? Double dip.
Yeah.
And Ricky doesn't have to worry about what he's doing tonight.
That's right. And by the way, we got the answer to that question because he does the Yankees in Spanish. He does the Eagles in Spanish. He would have done the Yankee game tonight.
He would have. Okay.
He would have.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.